Better? Oh. Now I did better, now you have to do better. Good morning. Well, kudos to all of you that showed up this morning, because your courage is quite substantial, because if you notice I was speaking and you still showed up, that's pretty special. So the morning's going to be a little bit different. If you're visiting for the first time here, come back again, because next week's going to be better. But more normal anyways. But we're glad you're here. This morning's going to be a bit different. We're going to spend a little bit of time looking at history. We're going to look and see what the Lord has done. And then we're going to turn around and start looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in the next little while as far as Bethel is concerned. But before I go in any further, put your hand up if you would. Help me out to know how many of you would consider Bethel to be your home. Cool. If you just put your hand up and you have never been officially welcomed into Bethel, please see one of the elders and we can fix that up and get you officially welcomed. If you didn't put your hand up and you would like to be part of the Bethel family, again, see one of the elders and we can work that out too. Well, let's start. If I can figure this new gizmo out, there we go. Let's see if this works. Cool. Okay, so what it's going to be is a bit of a family, we call it the State of the Union. Last time we did one, we called it the State of the Onion, but this time we're going to call it the State of the Union. And but if just that's a bit of a fancy title, really what it's going to look like is a bit of a family chat. So we're going to have a time together as a family to consider what God's been doing. Excuse me. So the first question, which already happened. What is the center of church? The answer you already got figured out because it's up there already. So what was the center of church? The answer is you are. So you are the church. I want to clarify that because we're going to be talking about the church, and I don't want you to think that this building is the church because it isn't. This is the building that the church meets in, but the church is you. You are the church. You are Bethel. So those of you that consider Bethel home, this is very specific to you because you are the church. Next question. Who was involved in moving from this place? Put your hand up if you were part of that move. Well, keep your hand up for a minute because we were trying to figure the other day what percentage of the people here were part of that move. We figured 40%. Are we close? Close. That's kind of cool. Anyways, give you a bit of a memory jog. This is what it was like inside that place. Brings back some good memories. We were there for 50 years? 40? So Bethel resided there in that building on the corner of Pine and McNabb for 40 years. This is what it looked like with people in it. A little bit smaller than what we used to hear. So that's where it started. That's how things happened. We had to move chairs at the back when everyone came in because there wasn't any room to get them out. So we had to move chairs quickly after the service was finished. But that was the old Bethel. So why did we move from that place? Well, the Lord had blessed us with growth a few times, actually. And what we had then in this process, when we were considering change, we developed a vision statement, which we'll look at in a minute. We'd hived off a few times before that. We started other churches in various parts of the city and outside of the city. And then we also looked at, well, if we're running out of space, if we've grown again, should we be looking at multiple services? None of those really fit because this is what we came up with and still continues to be Bethel's vision statement, to grow as a Christ-centered community. Having multiple services there didn't engender community. Hiving off again didn't engender community. So we ended up deciding that we should not do any of those things because that vision statement didn't really lend itself to multiple services or hiving off. Also, in that process, we started to realize that the Lord had blessed us with a number of gifted people that wanted to use their God-given gifts for the kingdom, and we simply didn't have space for them to exercise those gifts. So we looked at all sorts of options, and one of the options we looked at was, I shouldn't say before we get there, what we ended up doing, the primary reason why we moved was not just for a bigger building. The primary reason that we moved was as a ministry expansion. We wanted to expand the ministry footprint of Bethel Bible Chapel. It wasn't just for a bigger building, it was to do more ministry. We even looked at this. This was an option we considered for a while, and that was the option of building on to the existing facility on Pine and McNab. This was the old building, and then we were going to, we bought the property next door to Pine and McNab on the Pine Street side, and so we're going to extend it sideways to make an auditorium and put a fellowship hall back here, and all this was the foyers and et cetera, et cetera. It was multi-leveled, and it was problematic because it only gave us about 300 seats in here, and also we'd have a problem with parking. We still had a problem with parking, so we had to consider actually buying the houses further down the street. Didn't really work. And we looked at, therefore, what the expansion was going to cost. If we expanded on site, it was going to be about $2.2 million, and the efforts to look at an alternative of building a greenfield, building a brand-new facility somewhere, was $2.5 million. So the conclusion was we were going to move. The elders felt that we were going to move to a new facility and build it, a greenfield site. That was at the beginning of the week. On the Saturday, we were going to present this to the family, to the Bethel family, and in the middle of that week, almost, Graham Lidstone called and said they've got an alternative. There may be someone wants to sell the bingo hall, this place. So in the midst of that week, there were some meetings happened with the vendor of that sort of stuff, and so on the Saturday morning, when we were going to make this presentation, we made another one, and that was the Lord had provided another facility. And we were going to seriously look at that because there was a conditional offer. There was agreement in place to make it happen. And God provided. This should be sound. Let's try that again. There should be video on that part. Can you get it going from that end? Okay. Thank you. We had the last service at the old chapel, and we came down here on a sort of a convoy, and we met out in the foyer and prayed together, held hands and sang and prayed together, give thanks. On the way into the front, though, we put this banner up. Lots of people came in to see what was going on, and we wanted to make sure the Lord got the glory and not everything that was going on. But so this banner stood there, was up in the front foyer for the whole construction process almost. And look and see what the Lord has done. My goal for us this morning, for those that didn't experience that journey with the rest of the Bethel family, is that you can really genuinely see and understand, even more important, what the Lord has done here. Here, not just somewhere else, here. The people in there, some have already gone, and the people will fade that were involved in this, but may the God's glory never fade in what he accomplished here at Bethel. This was a comparison, actually. If this is the new building, the outside, and that was the fellowship space we had in the old Bethel as a comparison to the fellowship space we presently have. And this was the size of the sanctuary compared to what you're sitting in today. Also, parking spots up there was 78, and then we added another 335 by coming down here. So quite a large change. Bethel Bible Chapel, though, one of those things that maybe you didn't pick up on there was there was a connection between the old and the new, that all this trim here, all the oak trim that you see, came from the old pews at the other church, other church building, where the people that bought it didn't want those pews, and so we took them, and they were turned into trim. So all this trim is a reference back to the old Bethel. But Bethel Bible Chapel is built on the firmest of foundations, the Word of God and the Bible, and that will never change. As far as Bethel's concerned. But it's literal too, because under this there's a pillar in here and a pillar under here to hold up the dream beam teams. There was 6 1-ton steel girders went up in here, behind these bulkheads. And our guys did it. We were going to have to pay $50,000 to get someone to come and do it. Our guy said, no, we can do that. What? They did. And it's still standing, which is really cool. But to support those joists, we had to dig a big 8 foot by 8 foot by 8 foot hole here, another one over here. And in the bottom of that hole, we put Bibles, so that we are firmly founded on the Word of God. Just to put it in balance, that was the King James Version, and this was the NIV over here. So we have. We have both covered, just to keep things in balance. And that's the cement going in. We opened the Bibles, and you can see some highlighted bits there. The highlighted bits were highlighted references to foundations. We shrink-wrapped them in plastic. Not sure why, but anyways, we did. They got buried by concrete. Now, that was the how things happened. This was the executive team was up here, and then there was elders, business committee involved, building team, chair people. There was other people here and finance committee people here, the chairman of those, and then members were here. So the congregational had input through these people, but that's how decision-making happened. A couple of things we established, though, through those committees were some absolutes. And one of those absolutes is the prayer is the primary foundation. We mentioned the Bible being the primary foundation, but in the process of this transition down here, prayer was going to be the primary foundation. And the project needed to be immersed in prayer at all stages, and it was. There was ladies that met every Monday to pray. Another project need had to be a substantial aspect of faith, because we were pretty scared when we made the decision to move. There was a lot. We'll get to more of that in a minute. The other thing that we committed to was transparency and information transfer. And the other one that's in the center of all this is that we will all passionately and sacrificially strive for an ongoing spirit of unity amongst us. We recognized early on that in change, one of the biggest threats to a church is change and the lack of unity. So we prayed and we fasted for unity, and God honored that in major ways. We also said that we would maintain the normal levels of support to foreign and domestic workers. We won't decrease that amount because of this project. We decided not to borrow long-term more than we held in assets, et cetera, et cetera. So there's some rules we put in place. Here's a timeline, though, give you an idea of what happened. Conditional agreement was reached June 13th, 2006. The decision made was after a congregational meeting, another one of these State of the Union things, June 24th. The agreement was officially signed after we got some appraisals and stuff done July 27th. We took possession in September. We did cleanup and demolition for most of that, the rest of 2006, and renovation started with an organization called Hawkey Church Management, who specialized in doing church renos. I came up and we started actual construction in January 2007. The old building, thankfully, praise the Lord, was taken over by the person that was selling us this. He took that back as a collateral against so we could make it actually work. And so that was actually sold in April. The last Sunday in the old Bethel was June 10th, and we moved into this place Father's Day, June 2007. And then phase three, which we'll get to in a minute, was finished in October 2009. This was back, what I did over the last several days is look at some of the old presentations. And it was just, I wish there was time, but there isn't, to show you what God has done and how he reflected himself in all that happened. But these are some of the things that we recognize that the Lord brought us. We fasted and prayed for direction, he gave it. We earnestly prayed for unity, he gave it. We prayed about this building and the property, he gave it. And we sought an expansion of ministry, and he's giving that as we speak. To put this in perspective, maybe some of you don't know what happens here, but Bethel's a ministry machine. I mean, every day of the week, there's something going on here. So this will give you an idea where we're currently at. Sunday school, 90 children, plus 30 volunteers. Tuesday nights, 125 children in Awana with 50 leaders. Coffee hour, I guessed on this one, ladies. 140 ladies involved. Where's Joyce? 140 ladies plus helpers. How many helpers, Joyce? Approximately. Too many. She doesn't mean too many. She means there's lots. A nursery, there's 20 little ones in the nursery. We're running out of space in the nursery upstairs, which is kind of cool. College and career group, you told me 20. Is it about 20? I think it's close. And these are the new ministries that have happened since we moved here. This is praise the God, praise the Lord stuff. The ability, because of the facility being on one floor and everything else, the ability to host Watoto, the Blue Light Service, this is a police service, country music fundraiser, teen challenge, etc. The cantata we can do here. Coldest night of the year, Connect for divorce care for kids, full-time youth workers, which happened while we were here. LPS, not currently working, but happened from here. A guest reception, never had that before. Men's breakfast, mob, the mob meet here, which is encouraging for some from the West End. But anyways, the roughly translated as the Mums of Bethel. But there's other paid positions now we never had before. Some of you may not know that the spiritual support services at the hospital were going to be cut because of budget cuts, and Bethel picked that up. So Bethel now pays for and supports the spiritual support services at the Sioux Area Hospital. We're involved in the Santa Claus parade. The Shoebox Ministry ended up here. There was a soup kitchen makeover that was took a weekend. It was glorious. We now have involvement in the St. Vincent's Place with regards to meals. There's a ministry for wagon for single ladies, and young couples meet now on a regular basis. Awesome. Now some numbers. Those of you that don't do numbers real well, apologize for that, but just to give you an idea, again, the idea of this is context, so you can see what God has done. Purchase price for the building, What we own, of course, is this lot here, and also the lot closer to Black Road, 9 acres approximately. So the purchase price is 1.25 million. The old building was valued at 650, so we had to have a mortgage of 600,000 to make that work. And God provided, again, the vendor of this place took the other place as a second, as a sort of a mortgage. Eventually, we sold it, of course, while he was involved. The renovation budget from Hawke Church Management came in at about $924,000. We had cash on hand of about $200,000. Even if you're not involved in numbers, do you see a problem there yet? You know, just so it was definitely going to be a God thing. Some more numbers. Total renovation cost didn't come in at 924, courtesy of some incredible volunteer hours of work. Mind-blowing. The people that came up from Hawke Church Management, who have done hundreds of different projects, were amazed at two things here, three things, I guess. One was the level of unity. They said the majority of places they go to do renos and stuff, they end up with about 65% unity. We were close to 100%. Mind-blowing to them. They also said they'd never seen as much volunteer hours as was committed by people here, and never as much of talented or capable volunteers as they saw here. That helped reducing that cost down from budget down to what we ended up with. Then we also had the cash available to start, and so the funds necessary, we still needed to find, were $550,000. We ended up getting an interest-free loan from a very generous anonymous person, who helped us through that bit of a time. We also got a line of credit from Stewards. Now, Stewards is the organization, it's a Christian organization, we got the mortgage through. Now, another God thing. Increased donations between September 06, when we took ownership, when we signed the deal, to June 7th, when we moved in. Now, this is over and above regular givings, $350,000. Look at the God thing here. We needed $550. We got an interest-free loan, we got a line of credit, and we got increased donations of $350, which adds up to, wasn't planned that way, that's what God did. Mortgage price then, this is to give you an idea of the indebtedness we had. The purchase price was $600, so the mortgage we had was $600. We had the interest-free loans of $100. Line of credit for $100, total debt of $800,000, total cost of renovations about $750,000. So the total cost to be covered, mortgage and renos, $1,550,000. If we add the purchase price of the property and building to all that, total debt, total project cost of $2.2 million. Just look and see what God's done. $650 was paid by the sale of the old Bethel. The interest-free loan was paid. Stewards' line of credit was paid. Renovations costs were paid. So we paid $1.6 million in the process of moving here. The only thing that was left is the mortgage. Now, we have a mortgage maestro in our midst, who has been a focal point for helping us understand the mortgage, and he does mortgage moments for us on a regular basis. So I'm going to ask the expert to come up, and Nick's going to come up and give me a hand here to let you know where we're at. Because he's got all the knowledge I don't. He's got the looks too, I don't have them. But, Nick, this is the mortgage document.
I see that.
Let's rip it. To God be the glory. Let me just give you this picture. January 1st, 2014, Stewards Canada mortgage was paid off. 2015, better. January 15th, 2015, Bethel Bible Chapel was legally debt-free. Now, to celebrate this, what I'd like to do is have the business committee because there was a very... there's unity. Unity comes in multiple levels. There's tremendous unity at the elders' level. There's unity between the business committee and the elders, which is substantial to have leadership that unified. So I'm going to ask the business committee, anyone that's here from the business committee, to come up and stand with Nick and tear off your piece of the mortgage. And once you've torn off your bit, you can stand up and stay up here on stage and put your bit in something I'm going to put right there. Guess what we're going to do in a minute. I'm going to ask the elders to come up too, if I could, please. And in turn, I'd like you guys to take a piece of that. And I've got to go and see some special people that also need to deserve to get a piece ripped off of this. These were key people involved in the process that weren't necessarily part of that handsome bunch up there. Part of the original finance committee. Keep it if you want. Okay, if anybody's got bottled water with them, it could be handy. Where's Bob? As the chair of the business committee, for much appreciation for what you guys did and continue to do. That was the idea. Business committee is going to have to look at it afterwards anyway, so. There's a glass back there.
Keep your seats.
Well, thank you, gents. Again, thank you on behalf of the church. Thank you for your part in playing your part you played in making this all happen by God's grace for His glory. But we appreciate your contribution. So, business committee, you're welcome to leave and pull up a pew. Nick's going to go and give us the last mortgage moment.
December 1st, 2006, at the lenders in 2 and 15 years. $600,000 mortgage with Stewart Canada at 6.75%. December 1st, 2021. The mortgage was scheduled to finish after 181 payments and paying $364,172 in interest. I think that's over a third of the million in interest. Ta-da. God
Thank you. And again, thank you, Nick, for your championing and the ideas and all those sort of things. We appreciate you. You can. Go ahead, do your poem. I forgot that part.
This morning, I devised, crafted a poem. It's really a
got this part. God is so good. Bethel is truly blessed. Praise him and thank him. And again, just look and see what God's done. When we took possession of this place, this gang up here came here when we first got the keys and we knelt in here. In the dirt. And prayed. Committing the place to God, asking him to make everything work. And we just committed ourselves and Bethel and this new building he was going to give us to the Lord. One of the challenges we faced is how do we adequately give thanks? I don't know. But what we're going to do, and we'd invite you to join with us, we're going to do the same thing. The elders are going to kneel up here and pray. If you'd like to join us, if you can find a place on the floor somewhere to kneel, please feel free to kneel as we collectively, as a family, recognize God and recognize what he's done and give him thanks.
Lord, we just bow in your presence this morning, and we want to give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise for what has happened here at Bethel. We thank you that we're even a part of your kingdom. We thank you that we've been given the privilege to serve as under-shepherds for the great shepherd, the one who cares more than we can ever imagine for his sheep. And Lord, we just pray in your presence this morning, and we ask that you'll give us continued strength, that as we look back and see what you've done, we understand what we are having to celebrate today, yet we look ahead for what you're going to do and the glory and the honor and the praise that is going to come from our lives because you've given us the blessing to serve in your kingdom. We want to be stewards and we want to be servants that receive a crown and throw it at your feet and give you the honor and the glory because you're the only one that's worthy. We thank you that this place is built on your word, and Lord, we want to make it foremost in what we do and what we say. We want to have the words of God that come from our pulpit and from the songs of worship so that we can enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we bow in your presence this morning, and we give you honor and glory for what you've done and what you're going to do as we do this in the name of the most wonderful Savior of all, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
If I could just say a word. When you stand and look at 15 years, you wonder whether God's going to spare you to see 15 years. And yet he has spared me for this moment. During that time, I had a name change from Ken to Gino, and because I was laying block. And but the memories and the faithfulness of God is just amazing. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We think back of the history of Bethel 100 years, and we see people stepping out in faith, in you. And it's your faithfulness that has brought us here. And Father, we just thank you for the faith that we can have in you for tomorrow and for the tomorrows that you allow us. And Father, we just thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do, because we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen.
Father, we are so thankful for your faithfulness to your people. You have blessed us abundantly, and for that we are thankful. How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as his power. And it's never going to end. Amen. Father, as we look back, we are thankful. And as we look forward, we're thankful as well. Because we know that you have promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord, we crave your presence and your direction as we move forward. And that you will continue to bless Bethel. Bless your people and those who come here. Bless us with salvation. Bless us with spiritual growth. And so we commit Bethel, which belongs to you, into your care, and pray for your presence as we move forward. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. The breaking of bread this morning, we sang a song that I was thinking about when we were thinking about debt. I'm going off track here, forgive me for a minute. And it was, I had a debt I could not pay, and he paid a debt I did not owe. When I was sitting at the lawyer's office on Thursday, the process of writing off the mortgage was pretty easy. She just hit a few keys on the keyboard and hit return, and it was done. And I said, well, while you're there, can you do mine at the same time? Unfortunately, she said no. But it struck me at that point in time that I had a debt that was paid by Christ. I have a sin debt. We all do. And however nice a person I was, and whatever I could do, I could never pay that sin debt. We recognize God as glorious and as holy and as righteous as he is, and majestic as he is. There is no way that Jerry Fowler could ever get into God's presence, save someone paid the debt. Jesus Christ paid my debt. And I wonder this morning if there's anyone here that is cognizant, aware of that sin debt that will prevent you from going to glory. It will prevent you from being in God's presence, because he just can't tolerate sin. He just can't, it just can't happen in his presence. We can never, ever get to God except through Jesus. And as we talk about debt a little bit more, just think with me. And those of you that have had that debt paid, pray that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will just speak to someone here. Because we celebrated the retirement of a mortgage debt. How much infinitely more glorious would it be that today someone got rid of their sin debt? Because if that happened, even the angels rejoice, not just us. So think about that over the next little bit. Well, excuse me, there's a big but here. This is not the end in any way, shape, or form of Bethel. We have not arrived as a church. By God's grace alone, we realized a vision, a goal that we had from several years ago. But hang on to your hats, because Bethel is not grinding to a halt. Bethel is actually going to go from strength to strength. We're just getting going now. We've got some, now we're getting some real traction. So now we're looking forward to what God has in store for his church called Bethel Bible Chapel. The short-term plan for 2015 is to use the funds that are now available because of no mortgage payments, and to use those funds for catching up. There were certain things that we put off for a while because we were focused on getting the mortgage done. We need to get those things caught up before we move on to other things. So we're going to use those to do phase four. Now, phase four, this was the original plan. Phase one was the auditorium that we're in now in the foyer space. Phase two was the Sunday school space, which is up top here, of course, Sunday school. Phase three was the fellowship space. And phase four was this, which was an extension of the canopy out front to make it more weatherproof so people can come in without getting wet or snowed on. And just to give you an idea of what we're thinking about there, it'll be something like this. So that's what's coming up, hopefully this year. The other thing is, a few other things to catch up on. The intention is we're going to be even more of a light in the darkness as we're going to put up illuminated sign out front. Think of the Honda dealership sign. We're going to have scripture verses up there on a regular basis, ongoing basis, where we can have announcements of different things happening at the chapel. So that's one of the things. We're going to need to refurbish the HVAC system that was used when we got it. Praise the Lord, it's still working, but there may be a chance for that not to work. We may need to improve some AV stuff and put some lights, better lights up here. The doors, for example, need a major refurbishment with regards to hinges. So there's lots of things that we need to catch up on. So this is definitely not the time to slow down in your giving just because the mortgage is finished, because there's an awful lot more that needs to be done. And we also need to start thinking about a building fund for the distinct possibility of further expansion in the future. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot that list. Yes, the other one on the list was to pave the parking lot, which will help lots of things. God has led us, and he will continue to do so. God has answered prayer, and he will continue to do so. He has rewarded our faith, and will continue to do so. He has blessed us, and will continue to do so. He has been incredibly faithful and will continue to do so. We must continue to pray abundantly and fervently for the Bethel of the future. We need to crave unity as we did several years ago. We need to have faith, especially through times of change. We need to seek, strive for the perfection of his will. We need to love one another. We need to be transparent. We need to praise and thank the Lord. And we must often rejoice and look and see what the Lord has done and is doing. This is a bit of a diagram to let you know, for those of you that haven't been here for a while perhaps, to let you know how the thing works here, how things work, I should say. And this is the sort of org chart, I guess, if you want to call it that, where we recognize Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd. These lines here go all the way down to the body of Christ, the church, Bethel. And so this isn't taking away from the individual relationship between Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. But as far as we can tell from New Testament teachings, from the New Testament, the structure of a church, the New Testament church, looks like this. And under the chief shepherd are the under-shepherds, the elders. We're responsible to the Lord for what we do with his flock. Then the elders are responsible to the ministry leaders for anything to do with ministry. The business committee reports to the elders, and the full-time workers also report to the elders. The business committee works with ministry leaders with regards to finances. Now, for those of you that are really sharp, I'm going to ask you what just changed. I'll give you a clue. The full-time workers changed because person owner, after 16 years of incredible faithful and service to the Lord and Bethel, are retiring. It's not bad. There's absolutely no problem whatsoever with regards to Bruce and Mona and us. They simply want to spend more time in Florida, perhaps other places, to be able to spend more time with family and not to have to drive to the sewer every day from the island to be here. So there's no problems in all of that. Bruce, do you want to just share, where are you? Do you want to just share quickly why or not? Why are you retiring?
Well, I am officially at the retirement age. Actually passed it. But no, Mona and I felt that it was time because of the growth in Bethel. We don't want to leave here and leave Bethel empty-handed. And we think it's wise that somebody else move in to that spot, somebody younger, and somebody who is going to be able to carry on the work. And so we've really appreciated all that Bethel has done for us, and we're looking forward to what Bethel is going to continue to do through all his people. God is good.
All the time. Wow. Thank you. So when this is going to happen is the goal for this happening is June 15th this year. The structure stays the same, as you saw. Nothing changes except Bruce and Mona aren't in that full-time worker role. They will still be coming to Bethel. They'll still be an integral part of the Bethel family. Bruce will be speaking here often. So to summarize, some of Bruce and Mona's role will change, and then we get the next couple the Lord wants to be full-time workers here at Bethel. So a big change, but part of God's plan for Bethel. So pray hard, pray often. Pray fervently. Pray for the process of finding the Lord's choice. We were going to go through this as elders. We've been working with this for several months. We were going to go through this process, but we thought, no, we want to start doing it after the chapel, after the family starts praying. So at some time soon, we have to fully develop the job description, develop the package, the employment package, develop the decision-making criteria and the process, and desperately seek the Lord's leading and the Holy Spirit's guidance. Unity, through this change, for us as a family, we need to crave unity again and commit to being unified as the Lord changes things here at Bethel. Start praying now, but as a church family, as we've done before, when desperate for the Lord's leading and enabling, there's a plan for us to fast and pray as a church. This for 3 days, February 4th, 5th, and 6th. Of course, that's only for those that are medically okay to fast, and of course, those that are willing to do so. We'd encourage you to do so, though. It's pretty special. It could be a liquids only. Well, there'll be more information as we go. It could be a liquids only fast, of course, not necessarily not taking anything. There's also been an anonymous suggestion, although his initials are AS, and he's an electrician, not doing anymore, that we gather here on the Saturday morning on the 8th for a Superior Bakery donut to end the fast. So more information later on this fasting process as we get closer to the time. I'm going to finish with three verses. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. And for time's sake, I'm just going to read the highlighted part. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. In periods of time when there's change happening, Satan roars a little bit louder. And as a part of the family here, let's commit to stand shoulder to shoulder. And for our part, on our watch, not let Satan in. We need to stand together as we make changes. We need to stand together anyways, but especially when we're making changes. So be committed to doing this, recognizing he's just a roaring lion. He's defeated. He's already been defeated. But resist him. Resist those tendencies. Resist that. Stand firm in the faith. God will lead. Ephesians 3. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. Recognize what God's done. Recognize that he's in control. Compare what he's done. Regard what he's done. Value what he's done. And expect that to happen as we move forward. In John 17, may they also, Christ prays for himself, then he prays for his disciples, then he prays for the rest of us. And this is what he prays. He says, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be as one as we are one. Unity. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. In my book, that says the power of the gospel, why Jesus Christ came, is a function of unity. Why I think God blesses this place is because of unity. Because we are unified, and therefore the power of the gospel is profound and is absolute. If we disrupt that unity, then there's a risk that the power of the gospel will be muted and reduced. Crave unity, especially through change. I want to go back to the people we talked about before that may have a debt of sin that needs to be paid for. And if you've had this little voice talking in your head while we've been going through this, I want you to deal with that little voice and not leave this place until you've had that debt sin paid for in full by Jesus Christ, who's redeemed you, who's paid the price for your sin. So when you get to heaven, when you get to knock on those doors, and God says, you can't come in because you're not holy enough, Jesus will step in and say, I paid the price, he's mine, she's mine. Don't leave this place without taking care of that sin debt. It's huge. We'll finish off with that when we're finished. We're going to pray now. And then maybe Bruce and one of the other elders and I will stay up front if anybody wants to talk about your sin debt. There'll be two elders at each of the doors too. If you have any questions about what was said this morning or any comments or any feedback, talk to one of us. We want to hear. We're not in isolation. We want to be part of what's going on. So help us to know if there's any feedback or any questions you have. And again, though, if someone needs to take care of that sin debt, do so before we leave. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your awesomeness, for your categoric, absolute awesomeness. And we thank you that awesomeness is simply amazing. Amazing grace, amazing love, we talked about earlier on today too. And Father, amazing faithfulness. Lord, we are amazed at your faithfulness. We know we're not deserving, but you show up anyways and bless us. We thank you with consummate thanksgiving for what you have accomplished in Bethel, in this place, and in this family that we call Bethel. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you that you're still in control. We thank you you're still at the helm. You're still guiding. And even through this change with Bruce and Mona, we know that you will walk with us, that you'll journey with us as we go. And we look forward, Father, for we know of your faithfulness. We have seen evidence of your faithfulness. And counting on that faithfulness, we look forward to what you're going to do. Because you're not finished with this world. You still need a light. You still need a place of refuge, a place where people can come in and be accepted and be shown grace and shown love, shown your word and shown your salvation. There is much to do. So Bethel will go from strength to strength in your strength. We'll move on to new things and exciting new things in your strength. And we generally look forward to what you're going to do. We commit ourselves as a church to you again afresh and commit our ways unto you. And Father, we just thank you again for loving us the way you do. And for Father, any of people here today, I pray for them now, even now, that if they're aware of their sin debt and they know that it's never been taken care of, if they know that there is no way they're going to reach heaven, that they would be that you would speak to them, Father, even now in this quietness, you would speak to their heart, and they may be willing to take the steps necessary to have that debt paid off, and so that we can rejoice, that the heaven can rejoice. Father, we just we look forward to you speaking to people's hearts. Again, Father, may we leave this place in praise and thanksgiving for you, for your grace, for your love for us, and for what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll cut the volume down a bit, but just in case you want to look at these things as they carry on, we'll rerun that slideshow. Thank you for coming.